is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com.
That's right. Here on this Thursday afternoon, we hope you'll join us and offer your ideas, your opinions, and your wisdom. We often hear very wise words here on KGMI Connects. We hear the gambit, which is what makes it really fun. So hope you'll stick around and hope you'll take part. 360-676-5464 is our phone number. Just real quick, I saw where the bill that would force the sale of TikTok or ban it here in the United States is they're putting the brakes on it, it seems, there in the Senate, which I think makes sense. I mean, come on. It seems a little bit, get off your lawn kind of a thing, because 170 million or more Americans use this thing every day, and young people especially. And I get it. I guess China could get our personal information, and what are they going to do with it that all these other transnational corporations aren't already doing with it? They can try to sell us Chinese cars instead of GM cars, or what are they, they control the avenue of information on an app like TikTok. What are they going to do, try to convince a bunch of us that the wrong person won the election? I don't know. It seems like these things are all happening already. But just a thought as we get rolling here on this Thursday afternoon. And like I said, it's all about you and what's on your mind and what you want to discuss. And let's get started with Joe in Bellingham. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe. I wonder if I'm one of Trump's Marxist vermin, because I subscribe to the Social Worker Party paper.
Okay.
It's $10 for 3 months, and I can't afford the New York Times. It's expensive.
What paper do you get? The New York Times?
No, I can't afford the New York Times. It's so much money.
Oh, okay. What's a paper that you get?
Well, it's called The Militant from the Social Worker Party paper.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I had another comment. Okay. I saw on Channel 9 about Mussolini, and he wanted to make Italy great again, like the Roman Empire,
Okay.
Yeah. Are many people worried about fascism with this guy?
Well, there are some that voice that concern, yeah. But there are many of his fans that don't worry about that. But all right, Joe.
So somebody told me yesterday that he won by the Electoral College, not by the popular vote.
Right. In 2016, the Electoral College, those votes all fell in his favor, yes.
Oh, boy. That's wrong. They should abolish the thing.
Well, it seems it's a little outdated. I don't know what purpose it serves any longer, but it's what we've got, and I think it would take some, major... I don't know that there's political will to change it, that's for sure. I know there's an effort to reduce its influence on a state-by-state basis, I guess, to get states to, more and more states to just, because a state can decide, I guess, whether it's popular vote, because I think there are one or two states that actually do award, the popular vote, or that's who they declare the winner of that state. I forget how that goes there, but there's an effort to kind of undermine the Electoral College, and I forget. I right off the top of my head, I don't recall exactly how that would function, but yeah, I'm gonna look it up. I'll look it up and see if I can get more details on it.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
All right. Have a good day. Let's go to we made him wait forever yesterday. Jim in Bellingham. We'll get him fresh out of the gate here today. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Doing all right.
Well, I think your first caller, I'd probably agree with him a lot. He wasn't on for very long. That's okay. I listened to Dennis Prager, and he's busy at it, trying to indoctrinate the masses on right-wing, whatever you want to call it. It's called populism, but that's a misnomer. It's not populist at all. It's fascism in some form. But He talks about wholesome things, and he's very good at saying it in the right manner, though. You're so, this is wholesome. And he supports Donald Trump. I think he may have some sort of an out for him that he tries to pretend he doesn't, but he supports Trump for the most part. And that Access Hollywood, how wholesome was that? And he says, Dennis Prager was one of his guests, he says, we want to protect women from naked men. And so his hero, Donald Trump, many heroes, you know, E. Jean Carroll, she was pretty credible, wasn't she? At least a lot of people think so, enough to get him convicted of it. And so he's also talking about economics. And I refer, you know, he thinks that, you know, somehow free market economics is just going to be the way to go. They never talk about raising wages, though. That's one thing I think the wing is pretty strong on. They say in hindsight that wages went up faster than inflation. But as I've quoted Gore Vidal before many times in a book called The Essays of the United States, he talks about the real two-party system, which is really one of our problems because it's meant to kind of take the steam out of the buildup in economic decay. If you have two parties that are essentially pretty close to each other, there is some difference, and I recommend that the Democrats are still marginally better. But Gore Vidal did say this many years ago. He said in the much-squeezed middle class, it takes husband and wife working full-time to make what the husband earned in 1973, this he said in 1988. So, you know, we work harder and harder for less and less. They're always going to promise you that, you know, we're going to come to the rescue. I could go into that. I'll probably try one of these days. I wrote some things about what Trump would likely say if he took office, and I can't really believe that he's actually going to do much good. But, you know, sometimes we can say that they'll give a little bit to save a lot. And one thing I'll end on,
okay,
is that if you're looking at statistics of purchasing power, you can't say that your house went up 10%, housing costs will go up 10%, and bubblegum goes down 10%, and then you call it the average of that, which is zero, which would be no inflation. You have to weight it algebraically on the housing going up, that you spend much more money on that than you do on the bubblegum. Yeah. So I think they shaft us in all sorts of ways trying to calculate the rate. And we know from the anecdotal evidence I just gave you about Gore Vidal and that it takes two families. Now it takes two people in the family, and it takes the whole household now. And people are also dropping out, falling into to homelessness and poverty. And so that's my point for the day.
Okay,
I thank
Jim.
You for letting me on.
You bet, yeah. And your point about wages, they did go up quite sharply in the last few years. And, you know, if there had been more of a concerted effort to make that happen earlier, I mean, with through mandatory increases in the minimum wage, it seems that just makes sense. But in an incremental sense, it wouldn't have been such a shock to the economic system and to prices overall. Sure. Wages had to go up eventually. And I guess we all kind of collectively realized that. And so we made it happen. And then we suffer the economic shock of that. But let's go to Robert in Bellingham. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, I think, wages don't go up as fast as housing prices because things are on different tiers. And wages, they can only pay, you know, sometimes they make a huge profit, but also maybe they can't sell their bubble gum for more because of competition. So the prices stay low there, but then when housing costs go up, it's kind of a split there. So it isn't as much of a shock when they can go up incrementally. Like if we raise the minimum wage before that, then prices for products might go up. But and also people tend to notice inflation when it's products going up because labor-intensive industries will tend to push up prices when wages go up, whereas housing they maybe don't notice because they own the home, so they're benefiting from that. That's one thing. Main thing I was going to talk about was part-time work, though. I'm very much in favor of that, but I don't think you can pass a law and force it on people. I just think it's a goal to work toward a better quality of life.
You're talking about a shorter work week?
Yeah, a shorter work week, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. But I don't think you can force it. Like some companies, you know, they need to have people work overtime because that's when the production, you know, that's when the logs arrive or the fish arrive or something like that, or a construction project has to get done. Mm-hmm. I just see it as a goal to use the bully pulpit, I guess, and try and encourage people to do it voluntarily. And, of course, part of the problem is when housing is too expensive, it's harder to work part-time. But I worked part-time most of my life, and my rent was affordable. I worked, you know, a shorter work week. My rent was affordable because I was below the radar to some extent, and I had nice landlords and all of that. But I'm not as materialistic as most people, and I think the quality of life for things like bicycling, like I bicycled across the United States and came back on the train, and those experiences are priceless. And mm-hmm. to me, the quality of life is more important than just making money.
Right.
And that's a step forward, I think, for society, is to value quality of life.
Well, I think, too, you have to remember, though, that you're an individual and you basically care for yourself. And I mean, and I'm not making excuses, but, you know, people with families, different people, different individuals have different wants and desires and values. And you get a bunch of them together in a family, you're trying to keep everybody
yeah.
happy. And okay, and you want to do nice things for your kids, for instance. And yeah, I mean, it gets a little more complicated than just, I guess, you know, catering to your own wishes and your own desires. I'm not trying to belittle that at all. I think that's great that you've found that balance in your world. But, you know.
Yeah, I realize that. A lot of people say, I've never driven a car in my life, and a lot of people say, that's admirable. You're in good shape. It's good for the environment and all of that. And then they say, but we have a family, and I don't want to impose my views on other people, but I tell them, you know, well, I'm gay, and of course there are gay people that want to adopt families and stuff like that, but I have a very single lifestyle, and my idea is that I just want to be a beacon of another alternative if people want to choose it, I guess. But
okay.
It's not like you can pass a law and force it on people, but I don't want to be persecuted for who I am. And so far I've been accepted as kind of an eccentric. And that's the thing I like about this country is you do get choices, and
uh-huh.
I'm hoping that continues. But
right.
I think
okay.
more people could have quality of life, I think, instead of just going for money or families or whatever.
All right, Robert, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. And we'll take a quick break. We got Majid, Tim, Rich on the line. We'll have room for you for sure here on KG Mike Connects, 360-676-5464.
A weekend ride on your street bike. Exploring the backcountry in your new side-by-side. Mountain biking on your favorite trails. Spring is here, and it's time for some high adrenaline fun. When it comes to outdoor play in the Northwest, nobody beats Mount Baker Motorsports in Bellingham. They have an extensive selection of new and used road bikes, dirt bikes, and ATVs, and side-by-sides for work and play, personal watercraft, and now featuring electric mountain bikes from Gas Gas and Husqvarna. Mount Baker Motorsports also offers excellent financing options, an extensive parts and accessories department, apparel for every riding season, and a service team for all repairs and upgrades to your current toys. Start your spring adventures with a visit to Mount Baker Motorsports on the corner of Iowa and Woburn in Bellingham, or check them out online at mountbakermoto.com. Mount Baker Motorsports, Whatcom County's premier power sports dealer, featuring Arctic Cat, Kawasaki, KTM, CF Moto, Husqvarna, and Gas Gas.
Are you eligible for Medicare soon and feeling overwhelmed by all of the insurance plan information coming your way? Call Guided Solutions, formerly Vibrant USA, at 866-733-5111. Our goal is to make your move to Medicare as seamless as possible. We specialize in the health insurance plans to go with Medicare and can review with you how Medicare works, health plan options available, and how to get enrolled. There is never a fee for our service, and with offices in Linden, Bellingham, Freeland, and Everett, help is just a phone call away.
Hey, it's Les Schwab Tires. Right now, save up to $80 instantly, plus $50 with financing for a total of $130 off a set of four select tires. Our spring tire sale is a gift to say congrats, you made it through winter. Now you can swap out those winter tires for a fresher set at a lower price. Book an appointment online today. Les Schwab Tires, ranked number one by Forbes for customer service and auto repair and maintenance. Limited time offer while supplies last. Terms and conditions apply. See leschwab.com/sale for details.
Hey, this is Deanna Haraluk with KGMI's all-new Pet Pulse. I'm a pet parent myself, and we all want the best for our critters, whether they're furry, feathered, hooved, or otherwise. The segment is brought to you by Whatcom Veterinary Hospital. Did you know that one in four pets suffer from obesity? Pet obesity can shorten your pet's lifespan by up to 2 years. Contact Whatcom Veterinary Hospital for a wellness exam today. And tune in to KGMI's Pet Pulse Wednesdays during the morning news at 6:20 and 7:50, and during the afternoon news at 5:20, right here on KGMI.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for being with us here on this Thursday afternoon. Let's go to Tim and Everson. Hi, Tim.
Hey, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit because you had a caller talking about the voting and how it works and between the popular vote and the electoral vote.
Uh-huh.
And the two states, I think there's two states, and I could be corrected here. And I think it's Maine and Nebraska. And Nebraska. And they divide their electoral votes.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Based on the percentage of the popular vote?
Right. But every other state is winner takes all of the electoral. Uh-huh. And it's kind of weird to me because if you were to put a red and blue map up on the United States by county,
yeah,
it would be a good 70% red.
Well,
so I'm not arguing for or against the electoral vote because I think it's debatable either way, quite honestly. But you can't tell the whole country that people in New York and Chicago and L.A., where they're highly populated, the way the rest of the country is going to run. So that's why I say it's debatable.
Well, obviously it's debatable. Everything is debatable, especially in our country. But, when you look at a geographic map and, like you say, the red and the blue, but that, cows don't vote. Cows don't vote. Farmland doesn't vote. I mean, we're talking about human beings and the number of people that are in a given area. And I mean, that's kind of the idea that we have about a democratic process, right? One person, one vote.
So could I ask you this?
What's that?
If you think that every state was divided up by county and the electoral votes were split in each state, what do you think the outcome would be instead of winner takes all?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look through it. I don't know. We'd have to see.
And then I wanted to touch on the water adjudication.
Okay.
Which Rich has touched on a few times. You know, I know a lot of people that aren't going to do anything. And I know that's not a good thing.
No.
But who's going to come after a lot of people? Is it going to be the county, the state? That when they say, you know what, I've been on this well for 80 years between me and my dad.
Well,
they're going to have to take it from me.
I don't know what if there's an enforcement process even in place.
Rich could answer that.
We're brand new in this whole process, but or fines, that's easy. Send somebody a bill in the mail. I mean, I don't know how that whole process, the enforcement side of it, would work. But I understand that. But the idea is to accommodate those that have actual water rights. Figure out who has water rights and moving forward, who would be eligible for water rights. So,
okay,
and that doesn't mean that someone with a well that's been there for 80 years or what have you,
I'll make one more comment, and then I'll leave.
They wouldn't get accommodation for water use. But yeah, what's that?
How can you sit in somebody's house for 30 days and have rights to their house, and you've been living on a piece of property for 30, 40, 80 years, and you suddenly don't have rights to your water? Confusing, Joe.
All right. Well, yeah, that's I'm not a legal expert in land use or in water use, that's for sure. But thanks, Tim. Let's go to Majid in Bellingham. Hi, Majid.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind today?
Oh, a lot of problems, a lot of things, a lot of selfishness from people. Let me answer what Tim wants to get. Is selfishness of rich people who don't allow others to have water.
Okay.
And, yeah, I have experienced that before. 10 years ago, I had the land in Custer, and my neighbor wouldn't even allow me to get water.
Hmm.
And it was association. Yeah. He would go behind my back and complain to the county, saying that I want to build a house here without permit, this and that. So I put a trailer there. And every day he was on my back about it. It was a huge trailer. Every now and then I went there for vacation to stay there from Bellingham. Call it vacation. And he would be on my back for, oh, you can't be having a trailer here. You can't do this and that and that. So I left him to God. And guess what? He had cancer and died. He's gone.
Okay.
You know?
Well,
yeah.
All right.
The thing is, yeah, it's selfishness of people who don't want other people to even have regular water or even food. Food. Let's talk about food.
Okay.
Gaza has no food anymore. And Netanyahu wouldn't allow anybody to have food because he's selfish. He wants to kill Muslims. And I'm tired of it. What are we going to do about that? You know, Schumer said something last week, but nothing is happening. It's just talk. You know, it's always talk. Now Haitians having problems, and then another one is Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
Sudan is having a lot of problems, a lot of rapes going on there, a lot of no food, no nothing, worse than Gaza. So what are we going to do about these people? No, really. We are so proud to be American. We are so good. We got a lot of money. Just for ourselves and being selfish. We don't want to give one penny to anybody. We just laugh and having a good time. Okay, let's go on with that. But I went there. I gave what I had to them. And Allah will help me. You know, for something I didn't have, I gave it away. Just like before. I've done that 20 years ago, and I will keep doing that. To help poor people.
Well, I don't know that you can say nobody wants to help those people, and nobody here in the United States or the United States itself doesn't want to help those people. I think that's unfair. We've taken efforts to even airdrop into Gaza and bring and ship it over there. It is a very difficult situation.
They bomb it.
Right.
When the food comes down, they splash 100 or 200 or 5,000 people right there, right at the food.
Right. I know. It's not an easy situation, but how much is enough? I think our country has been pretty generous to the rest of the world. It could be better,
yes, recently,
I suppose.
Yeah.
But we do help other countries in a lot of ways, and we've got some billionaires that are also very philanthropic, you know.
Generous.
But
not all billionaires.
No, that's true. Not all billionaires. All right. Yeah. All right, Majid.
All right. You have a great day.
You too.
Let's open our hearts.
Okay. There we go. A good message. And we'll take a quick break and be back in just a moment. We got Rich, Bill, Lou, and you here on KGMI Connects.
Well, spring is finally here, and I don't know about you, but I got a ton of home projects just waiting for me this spring and summer. And if you're ready to jumpstart your kitchen remodel or upgrade your laundry room or start getting some better sleep on a new bed, well, DeWarden Bodie is ready to help with the best deals on home appliances and mattresses. Shop their spring clearance sale now through Sunday and get $50 off local delivery on select brand appliances, $7.99 and up. Buy any KitchenAid or Bosch dishwasher or cooking appliance, $7.99 and up, and you'll get $100 off your professional installation. Shop this weekend to get your appliances delivered and installed by Easter. Find spring clearance savings on washers and dryers, refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, ranges, wall ovens, cooktops, and more. Plus, pay no money down and no interest for 2 full years on qualifying appliance purchases, or up to 6 years on select mattresses. Spring clearance starts now, only at DeWarden Bodie, the appliance and mattress giants.
Lindale Glass is your premier window and door company in Waukamaw, Skagit County. With over 35 years of professional installation experience, you can rely on the dedicated employees at Lindale Glass to provide an exceptional install. Lindale Glass features Milgard windows and doors, leading the industry with innovative, high-quality products. You can be assured of a product that is customized for your home. No shortcuts, no gimmicks, just excellent service and exceptional quality from Milgard. Visit a Lindale showroom to learn more or online at lindaleglass.com.
Hey, I just finished my spring carpet cleaning early this year thanks to the help of Swan's Clean Care and Restoration. Amazing as always.
Really? I'd love to have Swan's Clean Care clean my carpets, but isn't it expensive?
With Swan's, it's a lot less than you think. And with their new referral program, we'll both get a nice discount. Just go to their website, then call and tell them I sent you.
Fresh, clean carpets? Swan's, here I come. Hey, what's that website?
SwansCarpetCleaning.com. But hurry, it's only happening through May 31st. First,
the latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
And we go to Rich in Ferndale. Hi, Rich.
How's it going, Joe?
Doing well.
Yeah, the water rights thing is going to be interesting. It'll probably go on possibly past my lifetime. I hope not, because it'll be a minimum 20 years in court. So back in the 1940s, state legislature passed a bunch of laws creating a need to have a water right if you're going to use more than 5,000 gallons a day. Water is a publicly owned. No one personally or privately owns the water. It belongs to the people of the state. So in 1945, they created the domestic exempt well. So that's all your livestock, homeowners, small business, anything that's 5,000 gallons a day or less does not need a permit, a water right certificate. So in the 1950s and 60s, many farmers took out these water rights. They filled out the applications, paid the fees. I've looked a lot of it up online. You can find it on Washington Department of Ecology. But then in the 70s, the Indians came along and said, this is our water, not the state of Washington's water. This treaty, 1855, we own the water. So starting in the 1970s, no new water rights certificates were issued in the Whatcom County area because of the tribes here claiming it's our water. It's not the state of Washington's water.
Are you sure that they weren't saying that all along, but they were being ignored?
Well, who knows, Joe? I wasn't alive back then and neither were you. But anyway, this is where we're at. So 1970s on, zero new water rights issued by the state of Washington. What they have is water right claims. So many farmers then filled out claim forms. And I've seen these, too. This is very common in the 70s through the 90s. I want to use this water. Here's the well. It's going to be X gallons a minute. We're going to do this. But that's all the farther it ever went because the tribes blocked the state from issuing new certificates and rights. So we've had 50 years of purgatory where we really don't know what's going on. And now it's time to sue everyone because the judge in courts is going to fix this over the next couple decades. And it's going to cost, if you don't participate, You are guaranteed to lose your right. Even if you have a state-issued certificate prior to 1967, if you don't voluntarily put your neck below the guillotine at the court for the next two decades, you will lose it. So they're not forcing anyone to participate in this process. You don't have to be part of it. You can do nothing, as Tim said, but it's a guarantee that this will make you a lawbreaker if you use water. So it's very uncertain. This is going to affect property values. This is going to affect a farmer's ability to take out operating loans. You're not going to be, all of a sudden, your assets might be worth half. So the worst part is, if you don't have a water right, no big deal. You're no different now than you were, you know, during this court thing. You don't have a water right. But the people who do have the paper certificates that go back way back, this is the state reneging on its word. They're effectively canceling the water right through this court process.
Okay.
They're not going to say it's canceled, but if you don't fight it for the rest of your life in court, you won't have it. And even if you do fight it, there's no guarantee you'll keep the same amount of water that's on that paper. It's so many acre feet per year. There's measurements and calculations, and it says right on the certificate.
Okay.
So this could be devastating to a lot of agriculture in the county. It's very unknown at this point.
Well,
but just the fact that you have to have lawyers, I mean, it's horrible.
Well, yeah. I don't know that everyone will have to have lawyers, but is it not a process? I mean, you just look at how the population has grown and the use of this finite resource has increased.
In Western Washington,
it's not the same as it was in the 1950s. It's not the same as it was in the 1970s.
Yes, it is, Joe.
The use
yes,
of water here, I mean, we don't yes, have more water. Thing. We don't get more water when we get more people moving into the area and
there
more businesses
not,
and what have
there
you.
There's not more water being used now than there was 50 years ago, per the paperwork in the states and the rules.
Okay.
Now, people may be cheating, but on paper, there's the same amount of water allocated in 1970 as there is today, because they have not issued any new water rights. This is a fact. It's been held
okay,
up that,
but that's
in
court. On paper. Yeah, on paper.
Well, this is all about
but
paper,
you've got,
Joe. This
you've
is
got
not
a lot
reality.
Of water users that are using it, like you say, without any kind of authority, really, without any water right, and nobody monitoring it. And so,
see, here's the other problem, Joe. We live in an area with vast water resources, unlike most of the rest of the United States. We have a huge resource here, and of course, most people here don't understand that because they've never been anywhere else. We don't really run into shortages. The worst we've ever had was last year. A couple wells started going dry in Ferndale.
Well, we might
which
see
is not
worse
a great
this,
anyway.
This year because we've had such a low snowpack. And
well, maybe,
and
maybe not. But the,
snow
the end
winter.
Of the day,
okay.
This is about money and power. This is about
okay.
the rich. Like Majid said, this will be the Indians lording it over the farmers
the,
to not grow
the
food.
The Indians
because they're
are the rich
yes.
here. Okay, Rich. Yes. All right. Okay. All right. We'll leave that at that. I would not agree with that assessment, but let's go to Lou in Linden. Hi, Lou.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I listened to Dennis Prager today, and he made a very interesting point. He said those Jewish Americans who are shouting that Israel's committing a Holocaust, and they have been comparing the war in Gaza with the Holocaust is almost a replay of the Stockholm Syndrome. Now, the Stockholm Syndrome, as for your listeners don't know what it is, that's when a criminal gang or terrorist kidnaps somebody, and they become sympathetic and side with their kidnappers, with the criminals.
Yeah, it's
and,
like
and that's
Patty Hearst.
Is, yeah, Patty Hearst is a great example.
Right.
And in Israel,
seems like Dennis Prager is saying, get in line and support the Israeli government line, or you are an illegitimate Jewish person. It seems to me, but that's my take on it. I don't think that's a fair assessment. That people can't disagree with the horror that's being perpetrated on civilians in Gaza. Hamas is one thing, but we're talking about thousands and thousands of civilians, millions, literally.
But, yeah, I'm sympathetic with that view because there are Jewish Americans who are worried about getting persecuted by Muslims here in America, by right-wing Nazis here in America, and so they want to try to make themselves look like, oh, we're not on the side of Netanyahu and the Jewish people in Israel. we're on the side of the enemies of the Jewish people, and they hope they'll be spared persecution. It's a sad situation.
Well, I think that's kind of a despicable comparison. What it rings of is collaboration during the Holocaust, and I would reject that. But thanks, Lou. That's your thought, and that's obviously Dennis Prager's thought on that one. But real quick, let's go to Bill north of Bellingham. Hi, Bill.
Thank you, Joe. This is me, I hope.
You're on. Anyway, you bet.
Wonderful. Yes, I heard, I was listening to, I think it was Lars Larson, I believe, and he was talking about the ERIC system, which is a synonym or whatever. It's just initials for some kind of a group, some kind of a private entity that that gathers up that collects people's names and registers them and gets them registered to vote. And they, I think the state of Virginia, several states, Washington, Oregon, Colorado, and there's several of them, and Virginia was one of them. And Virginia opted out, got out of that system because they found that the list of names were corrupted, and that they contained a lot of people, a lot of non-citizens that they had. Also collected through the motor voter thing, and signed them up, and they had ballots printed for them. And where those ballots went is who knows who's holding on to those ballots. But we wonder, you often wonder how those ballots are produced when they need to find more votes to get a certain thing passed or a certain person voted in. Well, that's how the votes are. That's how those ballots are printed, because they have all these people that are dead or illegals and stuff. They print up ballots for them. And
who's they? This
group, ERIC. This ERIC group is collecting names for registration. And the Washington, Oregon, and Colorado, and several other states participate in that and let that group register, collect the names and register these people. And they found that those lists are corrupt, and this could very well lead to a situation where some group, maybe a Democratic group, or gets a hold of these ballots.
If there's such
map,
a, then why
a
isn't
that allows,
then why is
that
it
allows?
Bill, but I guess I'd ask.
That,
okay, go ahead.
Are you gonna allows the by somebody getting a hold of these ballots and filling them all out, they could swing the electoral college in the way of the candidate that they choose. Because they have such vast numbers of them, and then when they
how is this such a widespread conspiracy? I don't understand
this
that.
This is not a widespread conspiracy. Look it up. Look up the ERIC system, and you'll find that the state of Washington
If someone, if one organization is you know, fixing the election after election after election, then why do we keep going back and forth between the parties? Well, how does that happen? I mean, why isn't one side always winning every election?
It's members of the Democratic Party that are in control of this organization and that set this thing up.
Okay, all right. But then why aren't Democrats winning every election? There's no logic. I'm sorry, but there's no... At least from what I can see. But thanks for your call, Bill. Quick break. Back with more. We got Jack on the line, Mike we'll hear from, and you too, 360-676-5464.
Benjamin Franklin was a scientist, inventor, journalist, philanthropist, and the namesake of our school, the Franklin Academy in Bellingham.
Jackson loves kindergarten, and what more could you ask for than a positive and exuberant experience to build a foundation for a lifetime of education? Students get weekly time with specialists in Spanish, library, music, physical education, and science. During our tour, we noticed that we knew quite a few Franklin families already, and after reaching out to them and receiving glowing recommendations, it was an easy choice.
We have small class sizes so I get support from my teacher. I love that we have daily math, writing, and literacy time, and I get to do hands-on STEM projects weekly too.
Hi, I'm Natalie, the admissions director here at Franklin Academy in Bellingham. We are a STEM-certified school for students from preschool through eighth grade. Looking for a small class size and personalized education for your student? We invite you to visit thefranklin.academy and book your tour today. Or just give me a call.
Follow the rainbow to Silver Reef for your chance to win a share of over $52,000 in prizes. Every Thursday could be your lucky day with hot seat drawings from 6 to 9 p.m. Three lucky winners will be drawn every hour for a chance to find their very own lucky clover. The results are in, and you voted us best casino and best steak in the Northwest. Thank you all for your support. Silver Reef Casino Resort, located off I-5, exit 260. We've got that.
At Silver Reef Casino Resort, we've got that. Escape the hustle and bustle of the city and get ready for a fun and relaxation-filled getaway. Luxury hotel rooms? Yep. Championship golf? Mm-hmm. Top-rated casino with all the best slots and table games? Yes and yes. World-class dining at the region's best and Wine Spectator award-winning steakhouse? Yes, please. The total package is only missing one thing. You. Silver Reef Casino Resort, located off I-5, exit 260. We've got that.
This is Caden Jolston's Don't Put All Your Eggs in One Basket. Bounce to Hinton Chevrolet when there's no bunny business.
Hinton Chevrolet, doing business with a tradition of trust since 1947. Located on the Guide in Linden across from McDonald's or online at hintonmotors.com.
Are you eligible for Medicare soon and feeling overwhelmed by all of the insurance plan information coming your way? Call Guided Solutions, formerly Vibrant USA, at 866-733-5111. Our goal is to make your move to Medicare as seamless as possible. We specialize in the health insurance plans to go with Medicare and can review with you how Medicare works, health plan options available, and how to get enrolled. There is never a fee for our service, and with offices in Linden, Bellingham, Freeland, and Everett, help is just a phone call away.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects.
360-676-5464.
Back with you here on this Thursday afternoon, and Jack has found his way to Edmonds today. Hi, Jack.
Hello there, sir. Hey, I was driving past Yost Park and Pool today, and I couldn't help but think of the irony of what I used to listen to in the afternoons, Doug and Mark in the Zone. And how Doug and for years they would play that clip of Get Off the Rope and all that other stuff. And it just brought that right to mind. Good memories. And I started thinking about ironies.
Okay.
And the election results of the primaries.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Okay.
If you notice, and I'm thinking Joe Biden's totals was pretty close to how many votes he got in the last election. Reportedly, and President Trump's percentage was pretty close to the same as the number of votes he got in the last election. And I thought, isn't that ironic that the percentages of two unopposed, basically, candidates for their parties, they would get 81% and roughly 75%, which is, if you translated that over into millions of votes, that's what was the difference of the last election.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think it's weird. They talk about history not repeating itself, but it does play the same tune.
Well, when you got the same two guys, I mean, don't you think that I don't see the views of either one changing a whole lot, being drastic. And it seems in this election is probably going to really hinge on which side is most motivated to vote, don't you think?
Well, I don't think it really matters. I think it was decided back when the Michigan State Supreme Court allowed 26,000 dead people to remain on the voters' log. back in June when I was back there.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you keep talking about it being a wide red conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Someday I'll explain it to you.
I'd like to know why a state Supreme Court would allow dead people, 26,000 dead people, to vote. I don't understand
that. For them to remove them from the voters' rolls would violate their rights.
Okay, but this is a proven fact. When I've looked it up, I haven't found any actual evidence that this was really a real thing, that there were 26,000 dead people who voted in the last election.
No, I didn't say they voted in the last election. I'm saying there was 26,000 dead people that were allowed to remain on the voters' roll.
Okay.
From the last election.
Okay.
Some of which were Civil War veterans.
Okay. And, well, if they're on the rolls, then, and they're dead, and they're not voting.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay.
All I know is I thought that the Supreme Court of the state of Michigan doing that, and when I'm getting ready to go out and go golfing with my father-in-law, it was everybody has that pornographic memory when something is so obscene you can't help but keep it in the middle of your mind.
Okay.
And you remember every detail, and I sat there and I watched the news report twice because, you know, it repeats every half hour.
Okay.
And they said it twice, and then I actually had my wife watch it. Here, you need to watch this and tell me what you hear.
All right.
You know?
Okay. Well, we'll go back and look. And if I think the issue would be if they were actually voting, if it could be proved that those dead people voted. But I'll look and see again and see if those folks are still on the Michigan Supreme Court allowing dead people to stay on the voter rolls because they don't want to violate their rights. Okay. Well, let's go to thanks, Jack. Appreciate it. Drive safe on your way back from Edmonds. Let's go to Mike in Custer.
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to make a few comments, kind of following up on what Rich said about the water rights. I think it's unfortunate that we can't honor the contracts that were agreed to.
Okay.
But one thing I wanted to point out, and you seem like you discount that there isn't adequate water in Whatcom County, but one thing that's very interesting is there's a document published by the city of Bellingham, actually, that when Georgia Pacific after they shut down many operations, do you realize how much water Georgia Pacific was using every day?
Yeah, I know it was a lot.
38 million gallons a day.
Okay.
Which is hard to believe that the lake even had any water left in it.
True.
But I guess my point being is that I don't think Bellingham and probably Whatcom County has a water shortage. I do think we need to come to an agreement. I don't think it needs to go through the courts. I think all the interested parties could probably sit down and work it out. But it looks like that's not where we're headed. But
don't you think, anyway, though, it makes sense? Here we are, with the population, and we, it's grown quite drastically, even in the last 10 years from census
absolutely
to census. Doesn't it make sense at a certain point to reset and to decide, okay, moving into the future, because there's a chance that, I mean, look at what we're going to see likely this summer. We're going to see shortages and we'll see rationing and
right,
that sort of thing.
Well, I think the thing with the farmers that gets me, and I own acreage myself, and I do have a water right, which is interesting how those were filed and honored without detail. But anyway, regardless of that, I mean, in most cases, the farmers use the water, put it right back into the ground. So it's not like we're we're losing it.
Uh-huh.
And then, people seem like they want to buy, their food locally, but then they chase everybody out of town. So it's just a little bit frustrating.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. And I'm not trying to discount what Rich says, because I think he and folks like you have studied this a lot more than I have. I'm not trying to claim that I'm an expert on this. It makes sense to me, though, that we stop and reset as far as who has the rights to what water.
Yeah, I think reevaluate, but I think when you have agreements that you made, regardless of when they were made, they don't just disappear, and that appears like that's where we're headed. It's like you're guilty until proven innocent, almost, kind of thing.
That's a fair assessment, I think, because that's what we're saying with the tribes, for instance, that they were here before any of the rest of us, and they
absolutely
have these senior water rights.
So let's maintain those. But what about the folks that came after?
But it's in their interest, too, that Whatcom County, you know, continues to, you know, be successful and have local businesses and that kind of thing. And I bet you if you sat down with them, they'd probably agree that, you know, we'd like to work this out, too. I mean, what good does it say they own all the water?
Well, that's true. All right, Mike. Well, I appreciate your thoughts.
Right. Yeah, well, thank you, Joe.
Good to talk with you. Thanks. Let's go to Marty in Linden, has some thoughts on this issue. Hi, Marty.
Hey, how you doing there, Joe?
Doing well.
Yeah, there's some thoughts. The previous caller brings a lot of good points, and he makes a lot of sense in how this should be worked with, you know, instead of the courts. Also, you know, we have agreements with the tribes. We should be abolishing those agreements. They should have had an end time when we made those treaties with them, and they should be just absorbed into the county or city government they're at. And also, when it comes to the farming, the agricultural areas here, for instance, all the people that have septic tank and drain fields, the water just goes right back in the water table. It gets filtered through the sand and the strata, you know, below the surface of the ground. And also, the farmers, the farming, the agriculture around here in the county has been a lot better usage of water. We use drip systems in the raspberries, blueberries, and even some of the potato guys are using drip systems in their rows to where less water usage, you know, because it all costs. And so there's a lot of smart stuff going on with the irrigation, so they shouldn't be pestering. And what Richie said is true, and you shouldn't cut him off there, Joe, because he has a lot of pertinent information that we could use. So that's the little input I wanted to put in. I suppose it's just about time to quit the show.
Well, we're getting close, but I understand. Obviously, every bit of water that a farmer uses doesn't return to the aquifer, and we are depleting those to a degree, as I understand it. But once again, I'm not trying to pretend I'm an expert on this whole thing, and we do need to protect our agricultural industry here locally. And I think that has to be a focus of this. Yeah.
You all want to eat, don't we? So,
exactly.
You know, let's not pester the agriculture people, you know?
All right, Marty.
All right, have a good day.
Yeah, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. And, Michelle, I'll put you on. I got about 30 seconds, but what's on your mind?
Okay, I'll do it quick. For the caller who talked about the percentage of Biden and Trump votes in the primary, it's total apples and oranges because Biden has had virtually no competition except for maybe 10% of uncommitted voters, and Trump had somewhat legitimate competition from the much famous Nikki Haley, who got about 25% of the vote before she withdrew. And so you can't possibly compare Trump and Biden on a percentage basis. And that's all I need to say.
All right, Michelle, and we'll talk with you and everyone else tomorrow. We'll be back here on KGMI Connects, 4 o'clock. Hope you'll join us and have a great rest of your Thursday. Enjoy the nice weather out there.